Good morning and welcome to the Sovereign Grace broadcast. Today I would like you to turn in your Bible to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. And please, I would encourage you to follow along in the scripture. Now let's read. I'll be speaking from Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, down through verse 6. Let's read these verses together. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops, that's the pastors, and the deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, verse 6 is a verse I want to camp on this morning, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Now, listen carefully to this verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he, that is God, God who hath begun this work of grace, this work of salvation, God who hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, let's back up just a few minutes, and I want to consider verses 1. Down through verse 6, and then we'll camp on verse 6. This church at Philippi had a very meager and small beginning. Paul was called there to preach the gospel. And when he came there, when he arrived there that first Sabbath day, he went down to the riverside where some women were gathered together, and he preached the gospel to a group of women. Lydia, you remember in Acts chapter 16? Lydia. God opened her heart and revealed the gospel unto her. This church at Philippi had a very small beginning. Later in that same city, Paul was put in prison for preaching the gospel. And you remember he preached to a jailer. And God saved that jailer. God revealed that gospel, the gospel, to the jailer and to his house. This church had a very small beginning with a woman named Lydia and a jailer. A prisoner, one who kept the prison house. Paul, a prisoner, preached to this man. The scriptures teach us, despise not the day of small things. When God undertakes to begin a work of grace in the heart or in a community, none can stay his hand because God is absolutely sovereign. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven among inhabitants of this earth, and none can stay his hand, or none can say unto him, Lord God Almighty, what are you doing? Now we see the Apostle Paul is in prison in Rome, again for preaching the gospel. And he sends this very precious letter from this Roman prison back to these dear people that he preached to encourage them in the gospel. And he writes to them, my friend, he writes to all who believe the gospel. He writes to us. Let's look at verse 1. He says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. Paul and Timothy were servants, and that means they were willing, loving bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the servants of men, but notice the servants of Jesus Christ. The servants of God. These were God's servants. God called preachers. God's servants and God's preachers, don't preach the gospel to please and to honor men. They preach the gospel that glorifies God. Paul said to the Galatians, if we preach to please men, we should not be the servant of Christ. God's servants don't preach to honor men. They preach to please God and to glorify God. God's servants don't preach the words of men either. They preach the word of God. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ. We don't preach tradition. We preach Him. You see what he's saying there? Here's Paul's humility. Servants of God. Bound to declare God's word, God's truth. And then he writes to all the saints. All the saints. Believers in themselves are the first to confess that they're sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in Christ, we're just as quick to confess. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we are sanctified. We are made righteous in Him. He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Oh yes, I'm sinful in myself. But in Christ, He has made me holy, unblameable before Him. And then in verse 2, He says, grace unto you and peace that comes from God and from our Lord Jesus Christ. What two words, what two more glorious words can God speak to His people but grace and peace? God elected to salvation a people by His sovereign grace. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. God justified a people by His redeeming grace, justified freely by His grace. God called out a people by His effectual grace. God saved us and called us with a holy calling. We're saved by His powerful grace. By grace are you saved. See what a glorious truth that is. By grace are you saved. And then He said grace and peace. Now notice which comes first. There's always grace before there's peace. As a result of grace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God through the blood of His cross, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace in our hearts and we have peace with one another. And most importantly, my friend, and most certainly, we have peace with God, reconciled unto God through the death of His Son. Grace unto you. Where does that come from? From God. And peace. You'll never find peace in this world. Peace is found in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 3, he says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. I thank God for you all. These believers were a monument to the grace of God. And Paul gives all the glory to God for their faithfulness. Notice he says, I don't thank you. I thank God for you. Not unto us, O Lord, David said, but unto thy name do we give glory and honor. Now look at verse 4. Praying, he said, I'm always praying for you, making requests with joy. Praying for God's people is not a grievous, burdensome task. It's a delight and a privilege we have to call upon God and to make our request unto God. Samuel said this in the book of Samuel, it's recorded, God forbid I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. What a delight it is and what a joy we have to call upon God and ask God to bless His people. Now in verse 5, he said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. Paul prays for these people, and then he says, I thank God for your fellowship. Believers have a special relationship with other believers. They are fellows, friends, in the same ship, or in the same conditions. Same conditions, sinners saved by almighty grace. This fellowship is something that has a beginning, but it is something that will never, never end. The blood of Jesus Christ, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now here's my text in verse 6. He says, being confident of this very thing, that God, who hath begun a good work in you, will perform it, will perfect it. This verse plainly teaches us again that salvation is of the Lord. Paul's confidence was not in their ability to reform, but in God's ability to regenerate, to save, and to keep them by His mighty grace. Now let's look at five things in this verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. The first thing Paul says here, he's confident. Being confident of this very thing. Paul was convinced. Paul was sure. And Paul's rejoicing and thanksgiving in their salvation, the salvation of sinners, is with much confidence, knowing that where grace is begun a good work, there certainly will be eternal glorification with the Lord Jesus Christ. What begins in grace will end in glory. Our confidence of salvation springs from God's eternal, unchanging purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. You see, Paul's confidence is in his sovereign God, in his sovereign King. And that's our only place where we can have confidence. And then the second thing we see, he was confident of God's work. Whose work is it? He who hath begun a good work. The work of salvation, my friend, is His work. No doubt, it's no doubt in our mind that salvation, regeneration, redemption, reconciliation are all God's work, God's doing from first to last. The very nature of the work, by the very nature of the work, we must conclude that it's the Lord's doing, that salvation's of the Lord. The Father unconditionally chose a people It's God who begun the work. God in eternity chose a people. Paul said, we thank God for you, brethren, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. We give thanks unto the Father. It's the work of the triune God. And to the Son, He redeemed us by His blood. Not with the blood of bulls and goats, but as our great high priest, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And salvation is the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. Whose work is it? You hath He quickened who were dead. It's God's work. And here we see this glorious truth again, that salvation is of the Lord. So we're confident that God who has begun a work will finish it. Whose work is it? It's God's work. Therefore, it must be completed. Thirdly, we see what kind of work it is. He says in that verse, it's a good work. It's a perfect work. This work of God works nothing but good in the heart of the sinner. It brings the sinner from darkness to light, from death to life, from total ruin to righteousness in Christ. It's good for the sinner. It's good for his family. It's good for the church. It's good for society. It's good for the glory of God. You see, it's a good work, this salvation. This is the Lord's doing. Salvation is of the Lord. And then the fourth thing we see, where this work is begun. Now notice this carefully. He says, being confident of this very thing, that God who hath begun a good work, where's this work begun? In you. Salvation is a work in you. God has done a mighty work for us. That's what He did at Calvary. He died to put away the sin of His people. But we need yet a work within us. This work God does in a sinner is not an outward reformation, but an inward revelation of Christ, an inward regeneration. It's a heart work. It's Christ in you. It's God revealing Christ to your heart, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, in salvation, the flesh is not quickened and sanctified. It's the inward man. It's the new man that's created in Christ Jesus. This old man is perishing daily. The inward man is renewed day by day. Salvation's a revelation of Christ in your heart. It's not cleaning up this old man. It's not sanctifying the flesh. It's making us new creatures in Christ. It's a good work in you, my friend. You see what he's saying? In you. Now, lastly, this work that God has begun in the hearts of his people will be performed. You see, this is a good work that he has begun. It's a good work in you, which will be perfected, will be finished in the day the Lord Jesus Christ comes. This work that God has begun in the hearts of his people will be performed, will be finished, will be perfected and carry on until we are perfectly conformed to the image of his Son, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. Now listen to me in closing carefully. If God does not finish and complete the work he has begun, what does this say of his promise? We read about the exceeding great precious promises of God. If God doesn't finish the work he's begun, what of his promises that said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If God does not finish the work he's begun, what does this say of his attributes? If God cannot complete his purpose, what does this say of his character? Where's his wisdom? Where's his power? Where's his love if God cannot complete the work he has begun? Our Lord Jesus Christ cried out from the cross, it is finished. If God does not finish the work, complete the work he has begun, what does this say of his atonement? If Jesus Christ rendered to divine justice sufficient payment for my sin, and he did, and he died in my room in my stead as my substitute, and then the sinner be lost and condemned as guilty before God, what does that say of his atonement? His substitutionary death. My friend, we have an atonement in Christ. The atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, demands my salvation, my deliverance. God, yes, my friend, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it, will perfect it, will finish it in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He ever lived to make intercession for us. As his people, he ever lives to intercede for us. As our mediator, One mediator between God and men, that is the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the sinner's surety, the sinner's substitute, the sinner's advocate, the sinner's propitiation. Yes, my friend, we are confident that God will save His people. If you would like a copy of today's message, you write to me and I'll send it to you free of charge. 6088 Zebulun Highway, Pikeville, Kentucky, 41501.